This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So if you're a felon, you never get to vote again.
Don't get to vote again. Yeah.
Ever again.
Ever.
I thought there was like...
I'm pretty sure it's ever.
Boy, that sucks.
A statute of limitations?
That sounds like something that we were just talking about, a felon, and how... Oh, it was because of the Patriot, Eugene Chung, got caught with cocaine, which I guess is an automatic felony.
I would think so.
You get caught with a little cocaine.
I don't think there's misdemeanor coke.
I don't know why that's a surprise to me. Ellie found that funny.
She did.
Ellie's like, been there, done that.
She just thought it was a funny joke. We need her to sit in here during the show. Sometimes
I've argued for that before.
She's got a great laugh.
I felt when our program director first got here, I felt like he wanted me to stop talking to Ellie at all. Like, he wanted to be all sports, and I almost quit over it. I need my Ellie. She lightens up my morning.
Most of the playbook will execute, but you will not execute the don't talk to Ellie play.
No, like, we went to like Sharia law. Like, keep a separator between the men and women here. no consorting with Ellie in the morning. Yeah,
she's so consortable.
We're going to commingle.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the Astros last night beat the Tigers. So they take 3 out of 4. Great performance from Gerrit Cole last night. Double digit strikeouts, 12 strikeouts again.
He was a machine last night.
He was a machine.
He looked like he was out for blood.
Yeah.
Looked like he wanted it. It looked like he still wanted blood.
You know, that look in his eye.
Like, he probably went in and just beat up in football, you'd beat up a blocking dummy or something after that. I don't know what they do in a baseball clubhouse.
Last night was a very degenerate night for me, Seth, and here's why. I placed 2 wagers last night. Not big wagers, you know, 20, 25 bucks, whatever. But I bet on a preseason football game. I won both these bets, so it is what it is. But I bet on the Patriots to beat the Panthers last night because Jarrett Stidham's been unbelievable in the preseason
so far.
He's been really
good. Conspiracy theories from Skip Bayless that somehow... they want Jarrett Stidham to take over for Tom Brady.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I'm trying not to pay attention to this stuff.
100%. He said, Skip Bayless said that because Stidham went in before Brian Hoyer, that it's obvious that Belichick is trying to get rid of Tom Brady instead of maybe, you know, Brian Hoyer. It was crazy.
That's
was
funny.
Crazy.
And I like Jarrett Stidham. I've had a chance to meet Jarrett Stidham a couple of times. He's Tad Brown's son-in-law.
Oh, that's
CEO
right.
Of the Rockets.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
So he's a great kid. So I bet on the Patriots last night, and I bet on the Astros -2.5 runs against the Tigers. That's how bad the Tigers are, is to get any sort of value, you have to bet on the spread against the Tigers in a baseball game. So -2.5 runs, which is like, so it's kind of
in
a degenerate
baseball,
night.
In baseball, that's a pretty big deal.
You never see -2.5 runs in a baseball game ever.
Yeah.
Ever. You can get a run line of -1.5 or plus, -2.5, never.
This was one of the most heavily favored games, like one of 4 of the most heavily favored outcomes that there have been since 1900.
It's the first one I've ever seen in baseball get up to -600, which means you got to lay $600 to win $100 on a freaking baseball game. So it was a bit of a trip in the Wayback Machine for me to my degenerate days of betting on weird things. Kind of like when you went and got the dozen donuts and ate them the other day. This is my version of that.
You're like, all right, I can't control myself.
Binging on donuts is me betting on a 2.5 run line in a baseball game. And so I was ready to go to bed all calm, cool, and collected, up 6-0 last night. And then in comes this Biagini character that they traded for a couple of weeks ago. And he comes in and he gets a guy out. Then he gives up a 2-run homer. Then he gives up a solo home run. And these were not like Crawford Box home runs. Like, these are hitting he damn near hit the engineer of the train in the head with one of the home runs. And the other one was to right field. These were jacks. And so Biagini comes in. And all of a sudden it's 6-3. And he puts another guy on base. And they're bringing Osuna in.
Is this so Biagini? I still have yet to hear all the stand up comedian type jokes that he was trying to tell.
Would you like to hear some?
I'd like to hear this because I wanted to know. I was really, really sick when Biagini was up the first time, and all I remember from it was
you had the flu.
I was on Twitter, and people were like, "All right, that's enough, Biagini." Yeah. So I didn't know what they were even talking about.
Yeah. So here's Biagini. I believe this is his introductory press conference after they traded for all these guys. He came over in the Sanchez trade from Toronto for Derek Fisher. Here's relief pitcher Biagini in his introductory press conference.
The process of getting here was a car to a plane to another car. Airport snacks.
I was promised therapy puppies. I haven't found them yet, but we're looking, listening for barks. I am obviously don't love cliches, but I will say that this, if you were to pick a team that you could be on, to choose to be on, this is the one. What I'm most excited about is they said they were going to help me work on my words per joke analytics. So I'm trying to get the department going on that as soon as possible to try to get that working.
All right, let me tell you something right
but
now.
I like him, I think. But, he's dry.
Okay, you and I are going to have a problem.
You and it's I a little bit of a, he's got like an office vibe.
Yeah,
to him.
I feel
like he's playing a character in The Office.
I feel like you like his cleverness or his attempted cleverness a little bit too much.
Yeah, even if it doesn't work out, I kind of like, I admire the effort, if not the game.
Let me tell you something right now about this guy, about this Be a Genie guy. Let me tell you what your words per joke should be. It should be zero. Zero words
until,
per joke.
Until you show up.
Until you stop trying to screw my minus 2.5 run line. This guy's coming in and he's practically, he came really close to taking money out of my pocket yesterday. Yeah. You can be Mr. Eccentric, Quirky, Jokey guy if your ERA is 1.87. Not 5.87.
I feel like this is a guy, like, and you're coming onto the Astros. All right, buddy? You've stepped yourself onto one of the premier franchises in all of sport, not just baseball. I feel like this is like if SEAL Team 6 was about to airdrop into Iraq or something, and all of a sudden they had to swap out something for, like, hey, the goofy guy.
Like adding Adam Sandler to
hey,
the team.
Hey, fellas, hope you were nice to the person that packed your parachute.
Like Adam, adding Adam Sandler to SEAL Team 6.
Yeah.
We're dropping into Iraq. We're going to have fun in Iraq.
You got Jesse Ventura looking at this guy like he just wants to cut his throat out, like, for the good of man, for the good of America and mankind. Right. Like, listen, you're not supposed to kill your own troops, but in this situation, I believe I'd survive the court martial.
Yeah, so Be a Genie. And then Osuna, this gets to my broader concern. Be a Genie is what he is. Be a Genie may as well wear an Armani suit to the playoff games. Like, he's not going to see any action in the postseason. But this Osuna thing is a problem now. Presley going to the injured list, and Osuna comes in. The last batter that Be a Genie faced last night, he walked on four pitches. Osuna comes in and walks the first guy on four pitches last night. So now you got two guys on base at 6-3, and now forget about me losing my bet last night. Now the whole city's going to be bummed out because if Osuna gives up a jack, this thing is tied against the worst baseball team that I've seen since the 2013 Astros, since we had to endure that summer of watching them if you were one of the 40% of the households that had CSN Houston. So that this is my bigger part. Be a Genie is what he is, and we're just having fun with that. This Osuna thing, because Osuna came within about a foot of having this game get tied. This Osuna and Presley thing, Seth, is a real problem because for the historic lineup that Jeff Luhnow has assembled and the historic front of the rotation with two future Hall of Famers, maybe three if Gerrit Cole keeps pitching like this, the one thing in baseball that can undo eight innings of greatness is one inning of implosion. Yeah. And this bullpen is sitting, it's like a powder keg right now, sitting on one inning of implosion all the time, from the middle relievers all the way to the back end with Osuna. This is my biggest concern in Houston sports right now. It's not the offensive line with the Texans anymore, it's the Astros bullpen.
I would say with Osuna, you have to look and think too, though, that as dicey as it was last night, ever since the really bad performance in Baltimore where he let up three runs, he hasn't let up a run. Like, there have been some hairy moments. I feel a lot better about him in total and in general. So do I have to feel awesome about every aspect of the team to win a World Series? No, you don't. It would make me feel a whole lot better. It's just that you feel great about your first three pitchers. You feel great about your offense generally, except for perhaps Reddick and whatever the hell they're going to do with that spot. But
he actually hit the ball hard a few times.
Imagine if they had actually started him on the night that it was his bobblehead and you had Ric Flair out there. But maybe that was enough to turn it around. Maybe you start to see.
Good about those things.
Let me go back. Okay, both Reddick real quick. Yeah. It's important to point out that Reddick has trailed off in the second half of the season for like 3 years straight now. That's the problem. It's not like this is a one-off occurrence and you can expect it to turn around.
Right.
But the bullpen, I guess the best I could say at this point is that it's going to take a whole lot of managerial prowess by Hinch because you've got the matchups there. Like, you've got enough different types of guys that you can match things up well, but on a night-by-night basis and when which guys are available and which guys you want to use, it's going to get really dicey. This is like A.J. Hinch is really going to earn his money over this next month.
Okay, so if the back of the bullpen is still shaky, though, then if Osuna is what to the Astros in 2019, what Giles was in 2017, and Giles was unusable by the middle of that Yankees series in the LCS, okay? If there's a worst-case scenario and Osuna becomes a guy that you just can't trust anymore, who are the McCullers and Mortons of this staff?
That's the problem.
They can go get you three or four innings.
Yeah, I don't like how casually people say, well, you can get by with a three-man rotation. Well, yeah, when McCullers and Morton are your fourth and fifth guys, that's a whole different deal. You know, if you got a three-man rotation, but then you're using Verlander as a reliever, hoping to hell that you close the game out in Game 6 or Game 5 or whatever, that's a lot dicier.
Is it Miley and Peacock?
Yeah.
I mean, are those the guys? Like,
well, Peacock, Peacock is a reliever. You have to feel good about that. Yeah, and then I think Miley, too. Miley, I don't feel as good about with Peacock. But so Peacock's return. Presley, what's your confidence level that Presley will be back recovered and sharp enough to really give you something in the playoffs?
4.5.
4.5?
Yeah. I mean, like a coin flip, but that I don't feel good about.
Yeah, that you don't feel good about, but it could end up being really good. That's the fun thing. Like, there's a whole lot riding on Presley's shoulders at this point.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stress when you're trying to come back from surgery that A.J. Hinch says is minor, but it's surgery at this time of year.
The guy you just said that they're kind of counting on and there's a lot of pressure on might be in a hospital gown right now as we speak. He might be eating tapioca pudding in a hospital right now. He might have just ordered breakfast.
The best part about the hospital is the tapioca pudding. One of our listeners says he'll give Osuna a pass for last night. He didn't start getting loose until there was already one out in the ninth, and Biagini let a few guys.
Okay, that's
get on
a fair
base.
Point.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. I don't think Osuna, I don't think anybody was playing. And this is where Biagini, this is where I am a little angry at Biagini again. Like, yeah, dude, you were supposed to come in and just get a couple of guys out. That's all you, it's 6-0. Your job is to make sure nobody else has to pitch if you're Biagini. And you came in and you didn't do your job. Now the closer had to pitch last night and come in and get me angry at him.
Let me ask our listeners. Text in 713-572-4610 or tweet us, Sean or me. Does Biagini have some potential in his humor game? Is it more context or whatever?
I'm too jaded right now about
this guy. There's something there. He's got potential. I might need to work with him. Right. He needs to understand the difference between sitcom comedy and like in-person comedy. Sometimes young guys, they need to work on this. They need to learn to read the room first.
Time and place.
Yeah.
Time and place.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.